This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Conflict zones, U.S. carrier strike groups, and extension of range. I go to Captain Jerry Hendricks, U.S. Navy aviator retired, now a senior fellow at the Sagamore Institute, to comment on breaking news. The first piece of news is that from the United States Navy Institute, a U.S. carrier strike group lingering in the Mediterranean Sea rather than journeying to the Middle East on orders from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. The USS Harry S. Truman CVN-75 Carrier Air Wing 1 and its escorts are now operating in the Ionian Sea between Greece and Italy rather than assume a planned transit through the Suez Canal to the Central Command. Item 2. A positive result from the U.S. carrier George H.W. Bush. The Boeing-owned T-1 test vehicle conducted day and night operations at sea, including taxiing and parking on the flight deck, connecting the catapult and clearing out the landing area. The T-1 is the operational name right now for the MQ-25 Stingray unmanned tanker for at-sea demonstration. Putting these stories together, Captain Hendricks will guide us into where we are now with extending the range of carrier strikes. Jerry, a very good day to you. The MQ-25, what is it meant to do, and does it satisfy the Secretary of Defense and the Biden administration in projecting power into the Black Sea from the Mediterranean? Good evening.
Good evening, John, and thanks for having me on. I think these are closely connected stories. Right now, Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, former general, former commander of CENTCOM, has made a decision that he wants the Harry S. Truman, a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, to dwell in the eastern Mediterranean near the Ionian Sea in order to send a message to Vladimir Putin and Russia that it should not move aggressively against Ukraine. The problem with this is that for those of us who watch this particular element very closely, is recognizing that the Ionian Sea is about 1,000 nautical miles from Ukraine. So flying up over Greece and then across Bulgaria, Romania, it's about 1,000-mile journey. And right now, the air wing that is embarked on board the Harry S. Truman, which is about 65 aircraft, about four squadrons of Super Hornet, FA-18s, E's, and F's, they have an average combat radius of about 500 nautical miles, or about half the distance to get there. Now, they do have the ability to organically tank. They would take one of their Hornets, load it up with a bunch of fuel tanks, and try to refuel their compatriots. But that really only extends the range of that air wing out to about 700 nautical miles. Now, another option would be to get a big wing tanker from the Air Force or one of our allies to orbit over Bulgaria, Romania, refuel those carrier-based aircraft, and then have them pressed. But that big wing tanker is a very vulnerable asset. And if things got hot in Ukraine, that would be a vulnerable asset there that the Russians could easily kind of reach out and touch. So flash to your other story, which is the MQ-25, which is supposed to be an organic, which means it will be based on board the aircraft carrier in the future, but will be a refueling platform for the carrier air wing. Each MQ-25 is supposed to have enough fuel to fully refuel two F-18 ENFs at their combat range, which is about between 400 to 500 nautical mile. They would do this refueling and thus perhaps increase the range of that aircraft out to 750 to 800 nautical miles. Still not the 1,000 nautical miles, but it would get it out there. This goes to the complexity of carrier operations. But it also suggests that if Putin understands where our Navy is with its air wing, he will understand that the Truman right now is not necessarily the threat that perhaps Secretary Austin means it to be.
The story about the MQ-25 includes these developments that I watched the video that is available at the U.S. Navy Institute News, and I recommend it because what they're now practicing is everything but takeoff and landing. The MQ-25 is being programmed, I guess, to respond on the deck of an aircraft carrier. The report is that it's successful. What's next for the MQ-25? How close are we to becoming operational, Jerry?
Well, I want to step back and take what you just said there and sort of unpeel that a little bit, because you're right. They've been working on essentially the computer program for how this aircraft would come up from the hangar bay on an elevator and then be taxied into position for takeoff on one of the four catapults on board a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. They're doing everything for carrier operations that is required, except the takeoffs and landing. Now, that can be done. Actually, the X-47B prototype, unmanned prototype that flew off aircraft carriers in the mid-2010s, I think 2014 or 2015, they did everything that we're doing today with the MQ-25, except they also did takeoffs and landings. So we will get there with MQ-25. But the important thing is what you just said, the programming. Once we master the programming for the MQ-25 prototype, that program can be downloaded and then uploaded into any new unmanned platform, MQ-25 platform that we build. So the idea of doing pilot training for unmanned is as much as establishing that initial program, putting in the data metrics, and then uploading it in the computer of the new prototype, and it is carrier qualified. That is something that will be revolutionary for us. But you're right. The next step is takeoffs and landings. And then after we prove that, then begin to practice more refueling with the carrier air wing itself. Every airplane on that air wing, from the F-18 Hornets to the E-2 Hawkeye surveillance aircraft, everything that flies from the carrier will need to work out how it's going to interact with that MQ-25 unmanned platform.
Moving from the Mediterranean and Black Sea Basin to the South China Sea Basin, recently revealed that the U.S. Navy, in conjunction with our allies, Britain notably, because there was an aircraft carrier, the Queen Elizabeth present, operated in a fashion that suggested that it was possible to reinforce or enforce Taiwan. The response was, I believe, up to 160 warplanes from the People's Republic of China. I set all that up because the question here is extension of range. At this point, do our carrier strike groups in East Asia have the range to successfully defend an invasion force against Taiwan?
It would be risky because, as we said, carrier air wing right now, its average unrefueled range is about 500 nautical miles. Once we integrate the F-35C, the new fifth-generation stealth aircraft, that aircraft has a slight increase in range of just over 600 nautical miles. But without refueling, and mind you, that refueling would have to occur in contested airspace. Without refueling, that air wing would not be able to reach Taiwan. We must remember that China is employing new missiles, which are carrier killers, that are designed to push the aircraft carrier back beyond 1,000 nautical miles from its shores. Now, Taiwan falls about 120 miles offshore, which means we would have to fly about 850 to 900 miles to reach Taiwan. But that would still stretch our ability to press our air wing to the limit, and we would not be able to dwell there for long periods of time to establish air supremacy or air dominance over Taiwan. So we have a lot of challenges in confronting that. But the key right now is just to make sure that China understands that there would be so much pain imposed upon them if they attempted this. But so far as China sorting out their fighters to come out and challenge our carriers, operating with our allies like Great Britain with Queen Elizabeth, we take that in stride. We're used to that. I think that sort of drives the Chinese a little crazy that we don't respond more to them. But we've had, 70 years of experience dealing with the Soviet Union when they would come out and challenge our carriers as well. We understand how to act professionally in those contested environments.
Final curiosity, Jerry, just a moment here. The MQ-25, I see that it's moving very nicely. However, we know now that Turkey and China are selling drones that are very effective in symmetrical and asymmetrical warfare in the South Caucasus, and we can presume Ukraine as well. What about an unmanned strike aircraft off of a carrier? Is that in the plans? We have about a minute.
I would hope that it would be. We were heading down that path when we were developing the X-47B, which was an all-aspect stealth, long-range penetrating strike platform. The Navy chose to move away from that model and towards the MQ-25 as a tanker. The MQ-25 is more of an ISR asset, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance design. I'm hoping that MQ-25 becomes a building block or a bridge to a long-range penetrating. platform. We really need that. Manned aircraft really do not have the range to be able to stand off from places like China or Russia and reach deep inland, which is why we designed supercarriers to begin with, to have a carrier deck large enough that you can have a long-range bomber come off from it to be able to strike against our enemies.
Is it your measure that an aircraft carrier is built to support an unmanned aircraft warplane that is large enough to carry strikes against the enemy in one or two directions? Is a carrier ready for that scale of a bomber?
That is why we designed the supercarrier, the USS Forrestal, to begin with back in the early 1950s, was to be large enough to do that. That is the basic DNA foundation of a supercarrier, is to be large enough to take a large enough aircraft to go that range. The carrier is ready. We just need the air wing to migrate back to that model.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy aviator, retired, senior fellow, Sagamore Institute. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.